Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
Back at you again with another episode of Big Time Baseball Spring Training Edition. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my partner, John Heyman. And John, things have gotten rolling here. Teams are playing games. We've got these new rules intact. And seems like all is going well so far.
Very good. We're enjoying it. I was just out in Arizona for a week, back on the east coast of Florida, and it's good to get out and see as many teams as I can. It's been a fun start.
Yeah, Arizona's definitely the place to squeeze in as many teams as possible with the close proximity of all of them. We'll get to your trip in Arizona a little bit later on in the show, but let's play some catch-up because there has been some big news since the last time we talked. Manny Machado re-ups for 11 years here in San Diego. Pretty big deal. It doesn't seem like, just looking at the numbers, how it broke down, that he got the significant raise that everybody might have been expecting. But nonetheless, the Padres will keep him in a uniform likely until he retires.
Oh, absolutely. Very long deal. I think that was a fine deal for him. I mean, those opt-outs have been great for the players. Started with Alex Rodriguez with his record $252 million deal. And, I mean, this winter alone, Correa took advantage of the opt-out. Obviously, we know that he had ended up signing three different deals, but certainly took advantage of the opt-out. Rodon took advantage of the opt-out. You know, a lot of guys did. And Machado, you know, ends up staying in San Diego. I think the Padres were confident on this all along. I'd been at the owners' meeting a few weeks ago, and some of the owners were talking about it, and they felt that the San Diego was going to get it done. We saw Manny set a deadline of the February 16th and then say he was opting out. I think the Padres felt, even after he said that, they still felt confident. I think they delayed for one day after he said that he was opting out, got back to work, and absolutely got it done.
Yeah, I mean, he virtually said in the press conference that he really had no intentions of going anywhere else. He wanted to be a Padre. Certainly, 11 years, 350 will make you settle down pretty nicely in a city. And, you know, there's still, apparently, according to you, John, there's still some room to possibly get some other things done here.
Well, we'll see. I wouldn't put anything past the Padres at this point. I mean, you know, they're liable to do anything. I'm not sure where they're getting the money, but I just give them credit. They're doing a great job. Peter Seidler, the owner now, amazing. I mean, we've come from a point where they couldn't afford Chase Headley, had to ship him off to the Yankees, and now they've
great
got
point.
Five superstars on that team, and counting Darvish and then Tatis when he comes back, we believe April 20th. And, you know, I think Machado, not a surprise. They are going to try to lock up Hader and Soto. Hader is a free agent after the year, Soto in 2 years. You know, just guessing here, I would say they probably have a better chance on Hader, but I'm not putting anything past them. I talked to both guys, and both guys are obviously loving it there. They love their opportunity to win. It's incredible clubhouse, amazing talent, and, you know, that maybe that gives them a little bit better chance to lock guys up. And like I said, I think with Hader, you know, maybe they can get it done. Soto, you know, again, not putting anything past the Padres. But, you know, he is one of the best two or three players in the game, probably the best hitter in the game. You know, and he talked about how important free agency is. And, you know, he's got 2 years to go. If they can get that one done, I'll believe anything. So we'll see.
Yeah, this might be the tallest climb that the Padres have to make in terms of retaining a player or going out and getting one. But I did find it interesting. My antennas went up hearing Soto, I think it was yesterday, say that he's open to having extension talks. That's not something that's not the kind of talk you normally hear from a Scott Boras client. But you got You've got Scott speaking very positively of the organization. You got Soto saying he's interested. You're right. We can't put anything past the Padres at this point, because I think they've really changed the way we look at the organization now when it comes to acquiring or signing players.
Amazing. Yes. Soto told me that they are open and they're waiting. And I'm sure it's not going to be a long wait. You know, the season starts now in less than a month. So, you know, they're going to reach out. And yeah, Scott was very positive about the Padres. I'm sure he loves what they're doing overall. I think he said they moved a mountain and it's called Mount Crushmore.
Crushmore.
Mount Crushmore.
I
don't really have time to come up with this stuff, but he did. That said, those are nice words. It is still Scott Boras. It still is Juan Soto. You know, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a huge number. You know, we know he already turned down $440 million. So that's the starting point at this point. You can't offer less than that. Although, you know, he obviously was a little transition getting there, but he looks good now. So I think they love him. They gave up five players, young players for him, and they'll make every effort. But, you know, sometimes trying isn't quite enough. We'll see.
Yeah, it's also important to remember free agency is 2 years away for Juan. So this is his platform year. And for those who may not be familiar with the term, this is really like the most important year before you get into free agency. So I'm sure the chips will fall where they are. And I think Juan Soto and Scotty B will kind of let that happen. We'll see how that kind of situation changes. Obviously this year, a little bit different. Spring training has been a little bit different for the last 3 years, right? You had the COVID year, you had the first year. No problem. You had first year out of the COVID year. And then last year, because of the lockout, spring training was a little bit shorter. This year, you got the WBC, which starts next week. Guys are tuning up for it, which it seems like it's going to be a pretty exciting little tournament we got before the season starts.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I mean, amazing. You know, Otani is going to pitch and hit for Japan. The Team USA has an incredible lineup, superstars up and down. Mike Trout is the captain. You've got first base. I don't know if it's a platoon, both right-handed, but you've got Goldschmidt and you've got Alonso at first base. So, I mean, the team is great for USA, but, you know, we'll see on the pitching, you know, the top 10 or 12 pitchers for Team USA did not join. It is very difficult. I know a lot of them wanted to, but, you know, teams are a little bit reluctant to let the pitchers off their routine and, you know, ramp it up to throw their hardest at this point. Makes it difficult. So it's going to be a challenge for Team USA. You know, obviously you've got all sorts of other countries with some great pitchers. Arias is going to pitch for Mexico. So, you know, Dominican's got a good team. Venezuela, obviously, Japan is outstanding. It's not going to be easy for Team USA. So it should be a very, very interesting tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to really get a read on how much success this tournament is having because of the kind of delays we've had. It seemed to be kind of rolling in the right direction, but it's been quite some time since we've had the last WBC. I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. It'll be spread out across really the country. You got spots in Arizona, I believe Miami, Taiwan is another spot. And so I did see a pretty scary picture yesterday. I saw Shohei Ohtani what appeared to be trying to get some tips on the cutter from Yu Darvish yesterday. I know that probably had a bunch of hitters' heads explode when they saw it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all everybody needs for him to have the cutter, too. Right. Pretty darn good last year with what he's got with the splitter and the fastball. But, I mean, best player in the world, that's obviously the most interesting free agent because he is a free agent after the year.
Yeah.
And the best player in the world and the most unique player. Soto, as you mentioned, 2 years to go. So those are two biggest guys to keep an eye on. But the World Baseball Classic should be great. They really did a great job recruiting, and I get why the pitchers aren't all there for the Team USA, but we still have a great, great offensive team. And let's give credit to the pitchers who did go, and you know, hopefully they'll perform.
Yeah, Nick Martinez, one of those guys getting an opportunity, plays for the Padres, pitched well in his two outings before he left. So we'll kind of get a chance to see how that goes starting next week on the 11th. Let's move to – with spring training going on every year, John, there's a few guys that get off to a hot start, but there's one in particular out in, for the Mets that's having a pretty good spring to start spring training.
Yeah, Ronnie Mauricio, it was kind of the forgotten guy among their prospects. Everybody's looking at Alvarez and Beatty, and Beatty's really performed well too, but Ronnie Mauricio – a 450-foot home run on Port St. Lucie. He's now got three home runs. So he has been huge so far for the Mets. And as I said, Beatty's been great. They still have Eduardo Escobar. I mean, imagine if they had gotten Correa, too, to play third base. They'd have four really good third basemen. So Mets look great at third. Obviously, they've got Lindor, Alonso. Their team looks good. It should look good if you're spending $364 million. So you're seeing another well-heeled, expensive team out there in San Diego. What are you seeing out there, Tony?
Well, I mean, we already talked about him a little bit, but Juan Soto is hitting over 800 right now in spring training.
Good batting average.
he's doing quite well. His swing looks to be back to a place where it was 2 years ago, where he could cover the entire plate, hit the ball to all fields. Last year, I think, I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but I did know that there were a lot more poolside baseballs that I was used to seeing from Juan Soto. And to start this spring training, he's really shot the ball all the way around. And I think if there's one guy that's going to benefit, maybe outside of Joey Gallo, although this may change after watching what I saw yesterday in terms of shifts, I think Juan Soto might be the guy that benefits the most. I mean, he is truly an all-around type of hitter. And that means driving the baseball on the line, but those hard ground balls up the middle now aren't being shifted on or can't be shifted on in the way that they've been in the past. They're getting through. And that just means more hits for a guy who can control the zone like Juan Soto. I think it's pretty obvious with his 800 start that this rule is going to benefit not only him, but a lot of left-handed hitters.
Yeah, I was out there and saw them play twice. I did not see him make an out. I think I was probably getting some refreshments or something when he did make one out, but he doesn't not making many. I mean, like I said, I think he's probably the best hitter in the game, and you know, he's certainly someone to watch. I think Corey Seager supposedly
another
47 hits by the shift last year. So
yeah,
that's a guy. Max Muncy with the Dodgers really suffered last year and we'll be back. Freddie Freeman pointed it out to me. Now, Freeman is one of those guys who hits it all over the place. And
right,
he's wondering exactly how it will affect him, whether it be positive or negative. But, I don't think it's going to be negative for any of these hitters who are great like that, like a McNeil. Jeff McNeil sprays it all around. We saw him hit several balls right down the third baseline last year and win the batting title. But I do think there'll be more offense, but right now all the talk is about the pitch clock. It's not about the banning of the shift. And, I've been at many games where many violations have occurred at this point. They are adjusting. It is interesting. Xander Bogaerts, the game I was at, he was rushing to catch a plane to join his team Netherlands, and he still had a time violation. So, you know, nobody's rushing when they're in the box, and he kind of laughed about it. I think anybody who is with the Red Sox is on a different pace than every other team. So I saw the White Sox are the favorites to have the most violations. I don't get that. It's got to be the Red Sox, and he basically agreed with me. And they've added Kenley Jansen on the Red Sox, so that's a team to watch for. If there's any betting line on violations, I'm going with the Red Sox, but Manny Machado, I think, was the first guy to have a violation, right? And I was in a different clubhouse that day, and what it was 0-1, and he said he's going to have a lot of O-1 counts this year. And I remember talking to a player, and he said it really doesn't matter to Manny Machado. The 0-1 is going to be fine for him.
Yeah, that at bat resulted in a line drive base hit to left field. So it clearly wasn't that big of an issue for him. But you're right. That is the talk of spring training thus far. No matter who you talk to or what you're talking about, the pitch clock comes up first. And, you know, the thing that I've noticed, and I think this will be the adjustment for the pitchers throughout the season, is managing that clock with runners on. It's easy to get the ball and go with nobody on, but once you start getting runners on, especially if you got a few of them on and you're maybe struggling to throw strikes, that's usually the time where pitchers kind of take their walk around the mound and kind of reset themselves. You just don't have that time. And when you start getting into some of these more the guys who are more mindful about the clock, a la Scherzer, who is going to play, he's going to play mind games with this clock. I can see a few issues popping up because you got pitchers who are extremely smart like that. And now with the pitch comm, some of these pitchers are calling their own pitches. So they don't need to wait on the catcher. They can call the pitch themselves. I thought Max Scherzer kind of utilized the clock in a way that could be a benefit for all pitchers if they can pull it off.
Yeah, he found a way to kind of quick pitch a couple times, and there were a couple batters not really ready against, I think it was against his old team, but
against the Nationals.
He's not really been in favor of this, and he's part of the rules committee. I guess he didn't have the deciding vote, but he wasn't in favor. He thinks about everything. I don't know where he finds room in that brain for everything that he thinks
about and
his opinions about. But it was interesting to see. I think the next time out, they did get him for 7 runs in an inning. So they got him back. But, you know, he's going to use it to his advantage. He's going to be smart about it. And he's going to make it a benefit to him somehow. We know he will once the season starts. But we're all in favor of it. I don't know about you, but we have deadlines. I got to make my deadlines. So I'm thrilled that we have the pitch clock and the game. I don't know. That was a jinx or what. The first two games I went to were over three hours. I think the Giants.
You must have watched the Diamondbacks play.
Well, I saw the Giants. They had a few violations, and then they made 5 errors. And I think that delayed it. And the other one was a Cubs game. But I saw 2 3-hour games. But the average has been about 2.5, right? So it's – and with a lot of offense, obviously, particularly in Arizona. So looks like it's going to shave off a half an hour, which is what they anticipated. Interestingly, the – shift ban has not made a huge difference in batting averages in the minor leagues. We'll see if that happens in the majors. I think it probably will make a little bit bigger difference, but the big thing right now is the clock, and that's what everyone's talking about. I did not anticipate that. You as a player, you probably understand more about the clock than I do. I'm only hoping that the game ends in time for my deadline.
I'll tell you this. I think first, back to Max Scherzer, there's no doubt he's been scheming about how to manipulate these rules from the time he figured out they were coming. The other thing is, and I'm not sure what the actual reason is, offense is up across the board in spring training versus last year around this time. And you can credit it to the shift. You can credit it to the clock. I personally have noticed the ball is in play more. It is in play. There is something going on. That dead time that we had been experiencing for God knows the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years is shrinking. There is something happening. And I think it has a lot to do with pitchers not being able to regenerate by taking all the time to kind of rebuild their stamina and max effort. You got to get the ball. You got to glow. You got to throw. I think the pitcher's stamina is going to be tested to have to keep going and not be able to take their time in between. And I think ultimately the effect of the rule has been exactly what Major League Baseball wanted. Quicker games, it's been shaved down at least so far to about 25, 30 minutes, but there's been more action. That the three common outs, right? We're talking walks, home runs, strikeouts. You're just not seeing it all kind of line up the way it was where you'd have 7 minutes of nothing happening. That's not good for the spectator. I think they're the ones who are going to benefit from it the most.
Right. That's what they were intending to do is help out the spectator and have more action. And I think that's been the real problem. The reason the games have gone to over 3 hours and they haven't been able to get them down is so many strikeouts and walks. You know, it was a day, many years ago when the best pitchers would strike out one per inning. Now that's an average, you know, and just so many strikeouts and more walks. And that, you know, part of that is the analytics and people realizing the value of the walks and the on-base percentage. But, you know, part of that is the pitchers having just more ability to throw it hard. And, you know, the game changed and they needed to make an adjustment. And they did make an adjustment and we'll see how it all plays out. Maybe they'll need to make another adjustment next year. But it is refreshing to see more balls in play. And we want to see fewer strikeouts and fewer walks, or at least I do.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in that one sequence yesterday where Scherzer ends up quick pitching a guy. What I think people miss in that is that Max is sacrificing maybe pinpoint control for kind of hurrying the hitter up. That ball ends up being right down the middle. But because the hitter is not ready, Max doesn't have to pinpoint command that baseball. He knows he's got the clock on his side. The hitter's not ready. I can throw this ball pretty much wherever I want and have some success. And that's exactly what happens. And I bring that point up because that's exactly what baseball wants, right? They want the ball to be somewhere where a hitter can hit it and have a chance to put it in play. And I think the rule is going to be great. We're going to get a chance to see it over the course of this season. I'm sure there will be some blowups, especially if you got pitchers being able to manipulate the clock the way Max has done it so far in spring. There's going to be some explosions. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, probably so. Max Scherzer will be must-watch TV, no question about it. I like the way you used the word max effort, too. That was a good pun.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's going to end it for today's episode of Big Time Baseball. Spring training coming quickly, fast. Before you know it, we'll be at the end getting ready to start the regular season. But next week, we'll probably have some conversation about the WBC, some advancement of where these guys are in terms of spring as they get ready for the season. And we'll check you then. Make sure you subscribe, like this podcast, wherever you get your podcast up. And for John Heyman, for myself, until next week, catch you later.